Brother Neil Bulra. It looks like a very serious problem. Actually, it is a simple matter. The way in which people write about it makes it complicated. In various words, the same thing is said again and again in the various scriptures and philosophies. In Ishavasya Upanishad, Vidya and Avidya are used. Anyadeha, Anyadeva or Vidya, Anyadeva or Avidya. Vidya and Avidya are there. Ishavasya Upanishad says Vidya and Avidya are there. By Vidya you receive one benefit. By Avidya you receive another benefit. No, I am not discussing Ishavasya Upanishad. I am coming to some other thing.
I think from Avidya you get only suffering that we are
having. That is because of the misuse of the word Avidya.
Generally Avidya is we think ignorance.
Avidya is wrongly used. You understand. Ramanujacharya has found for 7 mistakes in the Shankaracharya's idea of Avidya in Brahma Sutra Bhashya. His main point was, why do you say that Avidya creates this world? It cannot sit in Brahman, it cannot sit in the world, it cannot sit in the Jiva also. Where it is sitting? So your philosophy is pointless. He condemns Shankaracharya. But Ramanujacharya doesn't understand. Avidya is not a substance. It does not require a place to exist. It is affliction of the mind. If you ask where is the affliction sitting, do you want a place for that?
No, just like a ghost is
suppose
a ghost.
Suppose the person is sick, he is ill. Now where is your illness sitting just now? What will you tell? Illness is not a thing. It does not require a place to sit. It is a condition. So Avidya is a condition. A condition does not require a place. So Ramanuja's criticism has no meaning. Tell you, that is another subject. So, I generally never use these words in my speech or my letters, in my writing. I never use these words, Avidya, Maya and all these. You will never find these words in my books anywhere. They are all unnecessary troublemakers. You should not use the words which are not explainable. Now, I am coming to another point, Pragati Purusha. Mind and body. God and world. Inside and outside, positive and negative, light and darkness, these are the same as Prakriti and Buddha, subject and object. Wherever you touch, you will find these 2 things operating, I and you. The whole universe is made up of I and you.
That's all. Subject and object.
Yourself and God is not yourself. That's all. There are only 2 things in the whole universe. What is the relationship between yourself and that which is not yourself? No human being can answer this question. He is a boy sitting. He is not you. And you are not he.
Yes.
Is there any relationship between you two, or there is no relationship? If there is relation, what kind of relation? He is sitting inside you?
No.
He is sitting outside you?
Yes.
If it is outside, there is no relation?
Yes.
Can you say there is no relation?
No.
Then what is it? See this. The idea of not me is the bondage. You cannot explain it as either included in you, or excluded from you. This object before your mind is not inside the mind. It is outside the mind. If it is outside the mind, your mind cannot get it. If it is inside the mind, there is no need of wanting it. So what is the meaning of wanting anything?
It shows.
It has no meaning. So all desire is a blunder. Actually, I was mentioning last time, Shankaracharya's explanation of the great verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Prakritim Purusham Jaiva Vidhyanadi Ubhavati. Consider Prakriti and Purusha as both beginners. So I read so many commentaries on the Gita to find out how two things can be anadi. Because if two things are anadi, they will clash with each other. Like Shumbha Nishumbha, Madhu Kaitava, they will be sources of great trouble. Only God can be anadi. So other than God, there cannot be something else which is anadi. Yet Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, Prakritim Purusham Jaiva Vidhyanadi Ubhavati. Ubhav, two. You use the word two. Why should you use the word two? Already we have found out when there are two things, no relationship is possible. Shankaracharya's commentary is very strange. He may be right in what he says, but the way he puts it looks very funny. God does not create things by himself. Creation requires a conditioning factor. Unless there is a conditioning factor before the sun, there will not be day and night. Sun does not create day and night. But if the conditioning factor, which is the moving movement of the earth, is absent, there will be perpetual daytime.
Yes.
That is to say that there will be perpetual creation. Creation is the swabhava of Ishvara. He doesn't have to think. Automatically the whole universe appears. Because it is the appearance of his existence. As long as he is, this also will continue. So there will be endless creation. Devasyeta svabhavoyam aptakamasya kasvrata. Gaudapadacharya says in his Mandukakarika, creation is the swabhava of Ishvara. He is not creating anything, he doesn't say or think, let me create. Aptakamasya kasvrata. He is ever the fulfilled person. What desire he has got. But creation is a beginning and an end. Just as day has a beginning and an end. Though the sun doesn't have either a beginning or an end. Therefore, we have to explain this creation having a beginning and an end due to the interference of some factor which is other than the existence of God himself. These are Prakriti and Purusha. Now, what is Prakriti and Purusha? It looks like man and woman. The language used is so intriguing that we can misinterpret it. We always think that Prakriti is a woman and Purusha is a man. It is not like that. Prakriti simply means unintelligent material existence. Purusha is a name for intelligent non-material existence. Consciousness and matter. Awareness and its object. This is Prakriti and Purusha. Now Shankaracharya's interpretation is that there is a conditioning factor which limits the nature of creation to a particular characteristic only. Every cycle, the nature of creation changes. Yatha purvam akalpayat, data yatha purvam akalpayat, Yadveda says. The Creator created the universe in the same way as He created it earlier. Just as yesterday there was day, and today also there is day, tomorrow also there will be day, there is no difference. But the varying movements of the earth change the pattern of the day. Once it is a hot day, another time it is a cold day, once it is a long day, another time is a short day, etc., etc. These are not done by the sun. He doesn't create these things. So likewise, though it is true that the same pattern is maintained in creation, the details differ. It is difficult to understand this. The meaning is, Eastern and Western philosophers both have accepted that every entity in creation is a pattern. The pattern should be distinguished from the shape of individual. There is a pattern called a distinct collector. But the Mr. So and so, who is the collector, are every time they will go on changing. So collector never changes. It's a permanent thing. Endlessly the collector will be there. You cannot say collector is gone. You should not say like that. The person representing that force has gone. So likewise, you are a pattern. And the pattern is like a mold into which anything can be cast. That mold determines the shape of the thing which is cast into it. Like people make cement blocks in building construction, etc. They can make it long or short or thick or small, heavy or whatever it is, according to the block that they create. This pattern will be there eternally. But the soul inhabiting that pattern will be different. You are a pattern, a structural peculiarity. That structural peculiarity will be permanently there. Always there will be commissioners, always there will be collectors, always there will be police, always there will be everything. But all changes. Today's policeman is not tomorrow's policeman. But police will never change. So, creation is involved in two aspects. The maintenance of the pattern and the change in the mold that is cast into this pattern. In Western circle, there is a philosopher called Alfred North Whitehead. You must read that. Nobody reads this. There is nobody in the ashram who will understand this kind of philosophy. First of all, you have no interest in it. Secondly, it is so hard. You can't make out any sense out of it. There is not much difference between the height of Western thought and height of Eastern thought. They are same thing, they are telling you. Only different styles. He mentions the same thing. There are patterns. The words used are so difficult, so we will not make out meaning of it. Creation is a perpetual action. Only the nature of the patterns change. Eternally there will be this pattern. Only the soul will be different. Tomorrow, another soul will enter into this pattern and it will think in a different way, but with the same face, etc.
The name and form is eternal. Permanent.
The mode is permanent. Only what you cast into it changes. I told you one mode. The mold is permanent. Yes. You can cast gold into it, yes. Silver into it, yes. Mud into it, yes. Cement into it. What does it matter? Then, but thing that comes out is quite different. Yes. But the pattern is same.
That is still self-realization, this will go on molding, casting and again remolding.
Well, self-realization is a different thing altogether.
Where? Ultimately it has to end one day.
No. Huh? It can end just now if you want. Okay. It's not one day and all that. In 1 minute it can end. All the things that I am telling you,
yes,
can end in 1 minute if only you wake up from this consciousness of there being something. You are always saying there is something other than myself.
Yes.
That is the cause of bondage.
Yes.
Even then creation starts, everything starts.
Yes.
But that other than myself that you see in dream also.
Yes.
In dream also there is me and other than myself.
Yes.
But when you wake up, where are they? How much time it has taken?
No time.
That is what it
is. Sir, but there, here, you feel concreteness of this waking thing. Upon this basis,
is not concrete there in dream?
No, it was concreteness.
Why you are comparing it with another thing, but why do you compare?
Then
compare this waking with transcendence, you see what happens.
That hold I have not yet got, you know, that is the trouble.
How you can hold the waking in dream?
It is natural process.
No, it is not natural, it is a karma. The karma is keeping you pressed hard into the dream condition.
Yes.
When that particular karma which is operating as dream is lifted up, you come to the waking.
Yes.
So here also is the karma only. There is a prarabdha karma which keeps you to the waking consciousness. When that is lifted, you go to the transcendental consciousness. Only thing is, Meditation is nothing but the dreamer thinking of waking. The dreamer should deeply think of waking condition. That is meditation.
Now, deep thinking is necessary.
How will you, the dreamer, think of waking? Tell me. Because for the dreamer, waking does not exist at all.
Yes,
sir. Similarly, for us also, the God does not exist.
That is
the, but it is sitting on your head. You, and then you don't exercise it. So there is a semi-consciousness.
Yes.
In dream, the consciousness is completely blurred. In waking consciousness, it is semi-blurred.
Yes.
So there is a possibility of meditating in waking consciousness.
Yes.
The completely blurred dream condition is not suitable.
Yes.
Nor sleep. Sleep is completely obliterated.
Yes.
So Prakriti and Purusha, in Western circle there is a philosopher called Spinoza.
Yes.
He describes the Prakriti and Purusha as space and time. Rather, already I mentioned this already. Extension and duration. Width, three-dimensional, height, width, etc. and procedure, process of movement. There are three dimensions of everything. That is Prakriti. Length, breadth, height. That is three dimensions. Prakriti has got three dimensions. Length, breadth, height.
There is no awareness at all.
No, absolutely. Nothing. And time is the fourth factor.
Yes.
So modern physics says there are four dimensions. Three dimensions are... You see, for instance, in the cinema, you see a flat surface.
Yes.
How it looks like a human being moving about and three-dimensional man.
Yes.
You see a depth of long 1 mile in the interior in a flat thing which doesn't exist at all. So if a flat surface which is two-dimensional can look like three-dimensional, the what you call the three-dimensional thing is actually a four-dimensional thing.
Actually.
The four-dimensional is the turiya.
Yes.
Three-dimensional is waking, dream and sleep. Hard effort is necessary to think this. Has anybody thought why a flat surface on a cinema screen looks like a big world moving about? Why it is looking like that? Something wrong in the mode of perception.
Yes.
It's a perceptual defect. Otherwise, if you go near the screen like this, you will not see anything.
Yes.
You keep a distance
yes.
so that the illusion may be very working very well. otherwise, you will not see anything.
An optical illusion.
If you go very near the object of the world like this, you don't look all right.
Yes.
Things look beautiful, but if you go on looking at it like so near, its beauty goes. Even if you smear the whole body with food, it would help you.
Yes.
It must go in a proper way to a particular place only.
Yes.
So Prakriti and Purusha are only the three-dimensional and one-dimensional space-time complex. Without that, creation cannot take place. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, there is a point in Bhagavan Sri Krishna saying that both are eternal. Space is eternal, time is also eternal. As long as they are there, creation must take place. If they are not there, no creation takes place. But if you say they should not be there, only Ishvara must be there, then always there will be creation. So this is Shankaracharya's interesting commentary about Prakriti and Purusha. It does not exist, really speaking. It does not exist as an outside body. Your consciousness of there being something other than you is the bondage of your consciousness. And that thing which you call other than you, is actually, this person is not other than you. He is unnecessarily, you are saying, he is other than you. Because he can as well say about you also, same thing.
Yes.
What do you say? Now, who is the other between you? You are he. Tell me. You are the object of this person. And he is the object of your person. No, he is the object or you are the object. There cannot be two objects in perception. What do you say? So who is the object? So whole thing is a blunder. The idea of there being somebody outside me is a blunder. We are so much education, knowledge we have got, but we are making blunder every minute. So you cannot say who this person is, and yet you are talking to him every day. What do you say? So likewise, in this Prakriti Purusha, they don't exist at all, really speaking. Just as object does not exist, and there is only a definition. You can say you are a subject, you can say you are an object. You may say you are Prakriti, you may say you are Purusha, or you may say you are Ishvara himself. When you are, when you give up the idea of your being subject or object, because they are inexplicable things, you transcend them immediately, you will attain to the third element between you both, which is called Adhidaiva principle. The Adhyatma and Adhyota.
Is that Hegel's dialectics also?
I told you, the heights of Western thought and Indian thought are same thing. Hegel is same thing. That is the thesis, antithesis and the synthesis. The thesis is that you are a subject. Antithesis is that he is an object. But the synthesis is neither of you both. Neither are you subject and object. And what is the synthesis? It is a transcendent consciousness where you accept that you are neither subject nor object. Then immediately illumination takes place. So that there is moksha. What else I can tell you? It won't enter the mind. You do not know who is sitting in front of you. The whole point is that. And yet you think everything is clear. Swami Shivananda Maharaj has created this ashram so that you may find time to think these things. Swami Shivananda Maharaj has not created the ashram so that you may eat well and sleep well and wander about anywhere. This is not the purpose for which Swami has created this ashram. You would have stayed anywhere and joined any duty, become an official, earn money, have children, be happy. Nobody objects to that. But Swami Shivananda felt this is not the proper way of living. This is a higher way of living also. Unless this higher way of consciousness arises in a person, life is a waste finally. Again and again you will be born and you are dying and all that. So that is why Swami Shivananda created this wonderful atmosphere. But we have no time. Where has the time gone? He did not complain. Tasya kartaram abhyam vidya kartaram abhyam. Though I am doing all the work, I am not really doing the work. This is what Bhagavad Gita Lord Krishna says. Tasya kartaram abhyam vidya kartaram abhyam. I am doing everything. You cannot lift a finger without me. Yet I have done nothing. There is sun like sun. Without sun you cannot breathe. You cannot exist. You cannot digest your food. You cannot
do anything.
Everything will collapse. But sun does not say, let me help this Suresh tomorrow. Let me see his health is okay. Let me give him air to breathe and warm. The existence itself is action. If existence itself is action, it is karma yoga. But an action done for an ulterior purpose, it is binding. So each one of you find out, are you working for a particular purpose or it is a spontaneous emanation from your perfection? Then you will not make complaints. Any amount of work you can do, yet nothing will happen to you because it is your own being coming out. You are not disliking yourself. You will not be exhausted of yourself. You are exhausted and tired of something else. That is what I was telling you, something else does not exist. Unnecessarily you are bringing something else, it is somebody's work I am doing. If it is somebody's work, it will fatigue you. In half an hour you will get tired and say, I have too much work. But if it is your work, you will never. Your own field, your own harvest. Will you go to field and supervise and another man's harvest, why should you do? You will say, it is a drudgery, why should I do that? You can do hard work for your own satisfaction. But you won't work for another satisfaction because again this idea of another has come. The whole point is this. Yushma dasmat pratyaya gochara yoho. The very beginning of Brahma Sutra Vashya of Shankara is clash between I and you. That's all. Yushma dasmat. They are like light and darkness. They can never be reconciled. You can never reconcile yourself with another person. Because you don't know who you are. You are the observer of this. But he is the observer of you. Now who is the observer really? The very first sentence of Shankaracharya Bhagya is this clash between the I and you. First. Let it go, then you are blessed. What can I tell you? Those who have understood what I say may tell those people who have not understood what I said and explain it in your own language. it requires attention and appreciation of one's own predicament. You must know your condition, what kind of man I am. I have come all the way from some place. Am I vegetating here? Am I simply preparing for my death? Why should I come here? For improving myself. So that there is a field created by Swami Shivanandji Maharaj that I may not be reborn again into this confused way of thinking. So every day you must think this and find time to be alone to yourself. Try to be alone to yourself. Don't want another man to gapu and all that. Everybody should find 1 hour at least.
Thinking
you don't think anything. 1 hour you are absolutely alone. You should not say that I have no time. Either you are doing something for another or you are sleeping. So either of them, tamas and rajas both are working, sattva is not working. You don't want to be alone to yourself. It's a boring thing. You walk away. When you are alone, you will walk away to Rishikesh. See, that is again rajas is pushing you like this. If this is not properly appreciated, you will suffer when the old age comes. Nobody will care for you when you are old. Why should you be in that condition? When you go as a gentleman, as a person who has fulfilled your life. When you go, you say, I have, my Lord, I have done everything that is to be done for your sake. You have come here to do something for His sake, and you have not come here to do something for your sake because you don't exist independently. I mentioned you again and again, this you and I, this idea must go away. You remove this idea of you and I, and then you are a friend of all people. Sarva Bhuta Hiti Radha. Hari Om Dasa. God bless you.